What a blessed time to be able to come and partake of the Lord's table together as a family. Lest we forget, right, what he has done. So it's a good reminder of his body that was broken, the blood that was shed for each one of us. And so appreciate that. And we're going to be in Philippians 2 today. As we begin, and as we look at the book of Philippians, we are using Philippians 1:27. I know in the back of your bulletin it is written out for you. They called and asked what I wanted. I said that verse is good while we're going through this series, because it's so easy to get caught up in a section and forget the whole. And I want us to be reminded each day that we come where God is leading. At least my thoughts is centered around verse 27 there, which says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And I use that because that is the church. That's what we're called to do. That's what we are. We're not here. We're here as individuals, but we're also in the world as a corporate body, right? When people see us, believe it or not, a lot of people in a small community know what you're a part of. They know where you're at. They know what body you belong to. They kind of know your family. They know your friends, right? They know who you exist with. And we represent that as God's people on a greater stance, but as a local body as well. And so we stand this morning, whether or not, we stand in unity together. And that's important for us to understand in the trials and the things that come up. So we're going to be looking at Philippians 2. I'm going to read it and then we're going to pray, because I just want you to get an idea of what we're looking at. The first 11 verses this morning says this: "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at that name, Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. Father God, again, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that we can look into it. I pray that you would use my words to speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, that you would be glorified in what we speak, what we say, and may you use it to, again, to your glory and to your honor in our lives as we go through the next week and throughout the adventures that you give us. So we thank you for the day. And now we just turn it over to you in your son's name. Amen. Philippians 2. We have seen in the first chapter, Paul exhorting the church in Philippi to live and reflect the gospel at all times and to stand fast in the gospel. Don't let the fears then of what may happen keep us from making the gospel known. That was verse 1, right? Or chapter 1. Remember where Paul is writing from. He's not in a luxury place, right? He's in jail, in prison. And that's not a fun place for him to be. But yet, his focus is not on his condition, on what he's doing, but his focus is on bringing glory to God through the gospel. And he continues to do that. And because of that, we have this wonderful letter, right? So don't let fears of what happened keep us from making the gospel known. So this morning, Paul is reminding us just another aspect, or if you want to say a tool, to walk worthy of the gospel. And it's a very simple one. It's a very one that most of us would already kind of know. And it simply is to have a Christ-like mindset. To have a Christ-like mindset. 2:5 is kind of the center verse that I picked for this message a little bit, if you're looking for something like that. But it says this: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? Let this mind be in you, who is also in Christ Jesus, right? Who didn't consider it robbery to leave the throne. Think of where he was, what he came down to, and yet his willingness, again, to come and die on the cross for us. He had it good, guys, right? I think we forget that at times. We forget that what he left is where he wants to be. And he left all that glory and all that goodness to come and dwell with sinful man, to walk as one of us, and to give us an example of how to walk and how to treat people, how to live our lives, right? And so to walk in a Christ-like manner is not just a small detail. It's a very big part, and it's a very humbling and very very hard thing to accomplish, right? I don't know about you, but I don't know if there's a week goes by that I don't have to watch my attitude in something, right? Whether it's something around the home, my relationship with my wife, something with relationship with maybe students, right? Relationship with other instructors, relationship with other people. Maybe it's just a relationship with myself, right? Not being what Christ had me be. Again, whether Paul is with us or without it, right? He says there. But how about in my own self, you know? How am I in my own private world? And how do I reflect Christ in the gospel in my own private world? And so I need to work on this, having a Christ-like mindset. I was working really hard this week not to bring a ping pong, but I'll do it anyway. Because that's just part of the game. Having a Christ-like mindset when we're playing ping pong. When winning or losing, we could have a Christ-like mindset. And I would credit the guys that come. It is so much fun, and they do demonstrate that. But it's not always easy. They do have to deal with me for 2 hours. And my cockiness and my mouth and offness and whatever else you might want to call it. But that Christ-like mindset, I think it shows more than it doesn't show there around that room. It's fun for men to get together and be competitive, but to show a love for one another. I think the love for one another is growing inside that little area as well as we meet and we go. So we're working on Christ-like mindsets when we play ping pong. But anyway, to have that mindset, no matter what we're doing, what does that look like? What does having a Christ-like mindset mean, right? If I went around and asked each one of you, you'd probably give me a thing. By the time we're done, we'd have a pretty good idea maybe of what it means. But what does it mean according to the Bible? What does it mean here in Philippians to us? To have a Christ-like mindset, well, of course, we would all know. I think if I asked, all of you would start out with, well, it means to have love, right? Christ-like mindset is centered of the love of God. This is just something that outside of the verses that we're looking at a little bit, but it begins there, right? The love of the Father. Anybody that would give their life for me, for you, that's love, right? To love us before we even come to Him, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What love is that, right? Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His love toward us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You also find that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life, right? 1 John 4:9 speaks of the same thing. Jesus wrote the two greatest commandments, and these are rooted in love. Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first and greatest commandment. You cannot have a Christ-like mind if you first don't love Christ. It's impossible to have the love of Christ in a Christ-like mindset if you don't first love Him. And the second one is like it, he said in verse 39 of Matthew 22-40. He says, "Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, to love the Lord your God and to love others." So having a Christ-like mindset begins with love. It begins with having a Christ love for people. Right? And but why? We still have to answer why, and what does it really mean? In verse 1 of chapter 2, we read, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being one accord and one mind." See, first one, if it's a rhetorical phrasing he's using here, right? The answer is assumed that these are all true, right? It's not so much if as condition, but more of an if as sense, or this is absolutely true. Right, we have consolation in Christ. Consolation in Christ. Some of your versions will read encouragement. It's the same transfer word. To have encouragement in Christ. Right? He goes on to say, have comfort in love. Right, David Guzik wrote, "The idea behind this word for comfort in the New Testament is always more than soothing sympathy." Right. It has the idea of strengthening, of helping, and of making strong. The idea behind this word is communicated by the Latin word for comfort, fortius, which also means brave. See, when we have comfort and love, it's not just a pat you on the back, comfort you, like we tend to comfort one another, but we really are strengthening. We have a strength in that, and there's a braveness in it. And making one another strong. If there's any comfort in love, if there's any strength in love, if there's any strong, okay? The love of God makes us strong and makes us brave, of course. And with that, of course, there is comfort in love then, right? With braveness. And we do that when we comfort somebody. We just don't think of it from that perspective. If you have a genuine Christ-like mindset in comforting somebody, when you go and pat them on the back, you're really strengthening them. You're giving them encouragement. You're doing all these things. Okay? And then the fellowship of the Spirit. Familiar word, koinonia. We share in the life of the Spirit of God. The Spirit guides us and works through us. Right? If there is any of these things, if any affection or mercy, these deal with the matters of the heart, right? If there's any affection, if my heart cares, if it wants to give mercy to those that are kind of down and out, that are struggling along, if I have any of these things, right? Therefore, right? Based on what Christ has done, what we've seen in chapter 1, if there is any of this in us, right, He goes on to say, fulfill my joy. Fulfill my joy. Paul reminds him then not only of the practicality of the mindset, but then the mindset is to walk in unity. Fulfill my joy is to walk together. Is it fun to walk with me? Sometimes. Is it fun to walk with me all the time? No. Right? Ask my children, ask my wife, ask some of my friends. Is it always fun to walk with me? No, I can be a real downer at times. Right? Here's the deal, so can you. Right? If we're honest with ourselves, which I think we should all be, we can all be downers. Right? We can get into the downest of moods, the downest of attitudes, and not really be a lot of fun. We can get grumpy. Nah. Grumpiness doesn't exist. Right? Paul reminds him, and to walk in this unity, fulfill my joy. How do we do that again? This is kind of a repeat of what we've been looking at, but it's having the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, being one mind. In other words, there's a humility and a unity of the body of believers that brings joy. There's a humility and a unity of the body that brings would have brought Paul joy. That's what he's saying. Fulfill my joy. Be this way, right? And in the process, it brings joy to the Lord, brings joy to our God. You know, when we laugh together, that's easy to see the joy. But when we look over one another's faults at times, when we try to encourage each other out of the doldrums, when we, again, we all have faults. We build each other up. That's not just ignoring the fault, by the way. Sometimes it means calling out the fault. In order to grow in unity, sometimes I need to be reminded, you're breaking the unity. And you need to fix it. And you need to get it right. Done with love of Christ. Done in a way that God is honored. Because sometimes we all need that little attitude adjustment, right? Just like a child that we raise, sometimes they need a little smack. Sometimes I need a little smack, not from the tongue back there. No, sometimes we need that. But we need that little smack to remind us we're out of line. We need to straighten up. We need to get back in unity of faith with one another. Sometimes I'm at odds with somebody, not based on what they did, but based on me. And I need to fix that. And sometimes I don't see it. And that's where you come in. And you help remind me. Do you know your attitude toward this is way out of line? I'm saying this because we want the unity of body, and the unity in our body is broken right at the moment. Because when you're out of line, the body breaks down. It's like an electrical circuit. There's a cut and short circuit in the body, and the rest of the body feels it. They sense it. They can see it. The unity of being of same mind, of same heart. There is no room, right? There is no room for selfishness or self-exaltation, right? Number three, verses 3 and 4, let nothing, okay? Nothing be done of selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. I like me. Does anybody else like yourself? Right? I was going to ask if anybody liked me, that wouldn't have worked. Right? But do we like ourselves? Right? Do we think we're pretty good? Do we think we're okay most of the time? Right? I do. I like me. Right? And with that, sometimes I want to crowd everything around what's best for me and how the world works around me. I can get selfish and I can get conceited. And it says, don't do that, but in lowliness of mind, esteem others better than yourself. Right? What? Yeah, I'm supposed to look at you as better than me. And I can tell you, I have a high vision of me. Most of us really do. If we really look at ourselves, we have a, I call it sometimes a fake humility, if that makes sense. Sometimes we walk around in a fake humility. Oh, yeah, oh, boy, you know, but really we're exalting ourselves up and trying to get the pity because I'm selfish and I want you to come alongside me and build me up because I like me and you should too, right? But if I'm really looking at others more than I'm looking at going, really? Let me look at them. Let me look at the one that's causing me grief. Why? Why would they cause me grief? Well, they don't agree with me on this. Oh, no. Right? How do I love them? How do I love them in a way? Oh, they do so many dumb things. Did you see the way they parked their car in the lot? It wasn't even straight. Right? Go to Walmart. Walmart's an annoying place to try to park a car. Especially in winter when you can't see lines. It's like nobody has any idea that there are lines to park in. You know, I get annoyed at stuff like that. I'm like, come on, guys, common sense. You got two yellow lines and one in front. Use them. Guide your car, right? Why do I get upset? Why do I get frustrated at those little things, right? Because if you ask my wife, she says, you don't park by them anyway. You park clear at the end where there's no other cars. And I go, that's true. But as I'm walking in, I get frustrated at all these people that can't park. So I really have no reason, right? There's no room for that in my life. I need to work on that and get better. And let nothing be done through selfish ambition. When I'm frustrated over little things like that, I'm really just selfish in my own thing. I can park better than that. How come they can't? I'm so self-seated. I'm so conceited in my world. I've got that big problem. Esteem others better than yourself. Look out for others' interests as well as your own. Doesn't mean don't look out for your interests, by the way. If you read that verse carefully, let each of you look out not for only his own interest, but also for the interest. It doesn't mean we just go, oh, nothing matters in my world. I'm just going to look after you. That's not what it means. It means to have the same care for others that I do for me. I care about my interest. I should care about your interest just as much. And walking in that realm, again, it's just a matter of loving as Christ loves, right? Loving as Christ loves. If anybody could look at the world and look at me and go, you are a failure, surely Christ. The attitudes, he knows my heart. He knows the inside of me. He knows what goes round and round in this mind. And I don't even know that a lot of times, but he does. He knows what's in there. He knows how it's working. And yet, he can look at all of that and go, I love you. You got some flaws. We'll work on it. We'll fix it. I got you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm not going to drop you. You're still my friend. You're still the one I died for. I'm going to walk with you. And we're going to get better as we go. That is the unity of the body, right? We're all flawed people. We walk together and we get better as we go. Of course, you have Christ's example, verses 5 through 8, it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, right? Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of man, he He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This mindset of Christ. I have my own cross to bury, but it is nothing like his to carry, not bury. I have my own cross to carry, right? It's nothing like his. The agony, when think of the agony that he went through when he was in the garden and he cried sweat drops of blood over it because of what he was about to do for us. The heaviness of sin that was going to be put upon him. For me, who was not yet even thought of in the world, and yet he died for me. He took all that upon himself. My cross isn't really all that hard. In comparison, I should be able to master this mindset. I should be able to handle it. Right? Christ didn't tell us how to live, to just tell us. He lived it out for us in front of us. He, being equal to God, came to a lowly man, went to the cross out of obedience to the Father. That is the mindset that Paul wanted to see in the church of Philippi. Willing to give up all our glory, willing to give up all our pride, willing to make ourselves of no reputation as Christ did. Willing to do what it takes to bring others to God. Right? Think of that. I am tasked with just telling people about the gospel. That's my task. That's what the witness that I have. That's what God's. I tell students once in a while whenever I get a chance. I don't know how many of these guys have heard it yet, but I have told them, I know what the will of God for their lives is. I know what the will of God for your life is on the whole. And that is to be the witness of Christ, for Christ, in the day that he has given us. Right where you're at, today. Then I always add the caveat, tomorrow that might change, and I have no idea where that might go with you. But I know what the call is, right? I know what my call is today. I am to be the witness for Jesus Christ in the moment where I'm at, in the times that where he's placed me. We speak a lot of, I don't know if we always buy into it, but we would all probably say it or hear it. Well, there are no coincidences when we walk with Christ. Any meeting is not a chance meeting. That is absolutely true as part of Christ's body. Absolutely true. So how do I reflect Christ in that? How am I his witness in that? Christ went to the cross for us. He wanted to give up all the glory and pride. What keeps me from being his witness is my pride. What keeps me from being his witness is my glory. I want people to like me. Right? And if I get too zealous for the Lord, they might not like me. Right? God was in glory. He gave that up to come down and be ridiculed, to be humbled when he went to the cross. It wasn't a beautiful picture when he got to the cross. He made himself of no reputation. He was willing to do what it takes to bring others to God. Am I willing to do that? Am I to that point in my life that I'm willing to do what it takes to bring others to God? John 1:14a says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Okay? Think of that. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling. Who am I then to be such afraid? To live in such selfishness and to not want to give up the glory, my glory. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, by his doing what he did, we have righteousness of God in him. We might become the righteousness of God in him. And I like that phrasing because it pictures a not finished product. Ever thought of it from that perspective? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become. That means I'm not a finished product, and either are you. Thankfully, right? Thankfully that this isn't it. You guys have hope that I might become better, right? That's what, but I'm becoming. It's what Christ is doing in me, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that is being Christ-minded. Finishes this with an idea of a reward for being obedient. Look at verses 9 and 10. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every knee, name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. See, the reward for Christ being obedient was God highly exalted him, gave him a name above all others, and all will bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, all for the glory of God. The principle I think we can draw from that is that our obedience will also be rewarded for the glory of God. Christ alone got all that. But we are heading toward a glorious reward ourselves. When we walk in the way and the mindset of Christ, rest assured, it doesn't go unnoticed by the Father. Rest assured, he's going to give us a reward and glory. You'll receive the crown of life. Right? That's a wonderful thing. There's a wonderful hymn out there, and it has these words in it. Perhaps you remember the hymn if you're my age. It says, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. Right? When we see Jesus, it'll be worth it all. You know, the theology in some of those old hymns was tremendous to remind us. You know, all sorrows will be erased. Right? Oh, what a glorious picture of the reward that we'll have. It'll be worth it all. When I let myself die, when I give myself up for others, when I have a Christ mindset that says, I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to do what it takes for somebody to come to know him. My wife was listening to a story. I don't remember who the guy was, Haas? From 14th century. Anyway, he stood up for the truth of God's word. And ultimately, they ended up burning him at the stake. And I was listening to that story, and he's singing praises as the flames are getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And I'm just like, you know, there are several different ways that I don't want to die. That would be one, right? I don't want to be burned. And drowning, those two kind of scare me a little bit, right? But could I stand there for the sake of Christ if that was to come and sing praises to my God because I stood for the truth, because I brought the truth to somebody else, because I knew that that truth was going to bring somebody to glory? I would like to think I could, but I'm praying that I don't have to. I don't really want to be burned at the stake, if I'm honest with myself. But could I? And that's the mindset that we need to have as followers of Christ. Am I willing to do what Christ? Do I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind? And do I love others as myself? And am I willing to show that in the actions that I live out, in the way that I walk with my Lord and with others? Keeping the unity of the body, I should. There's every one of you in here, I should be able to look at and think, yeah, I would die for you. I would die with you if we were all caught up together, right? You think of some of the churches out there, in places where this morning they're scared to death that the soldiers might break in. But I'd be willing to die with you. Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I hope we never have to face that. But I hope in the end that I would be able to do that. The unity that comes from a Christ-like mindset that keeps us walking together and growing together. So the question we have this morning is not only do I have that Christ-like morning, but do you? Do you have that Christ-like mindset? We all struggle with consistency in our walk. That's truth. But just like the Philippians, we need to be reminded that if our conduct is to be worthy of the gospel of Christ, we must have this Christ-like mindset. So let's ask God to continue to grow us. Let us never be complacent in our walk with Christ. We all fall short of the glory of God, but we serve a great God who has given us His Spirit to guide us into all truth and convict of all sins, and He's given us one another to remind us of such things at times. He's also given us one another to rejoice with each other, lest we get overbalanced on the one side. He's also given us one another to pat each other on the back and to strengthen us in that comfort and love. This morning, if you are sitting here and thinking, I don't know. I don't even know if I know that, Lord. If I don't know Christ, I'm not sure. If you don't know Him this morning, I'm going to urge you to speak to somebody this morning and come to know Him in faith. It's easy to sit in a church and think everybody here knows Jesus as their Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, goodness, don't let yourself die in that. Eternity awaits. If you know Him, celebrate. Keep striving to become more Christ-like. That's the goal. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for the opportunity this morning to look into Your Word, to be reminded of how far sometimes we fall from being what You have us to be, but also to be encouraged that You don't give up on us. Lord, that You care enough and love us enough that You went to the cross, that we were able to be reminded of that with communion today. Lord, we thank You. We ask that if anybody here has not given their life to You, I just pray that You'd move in their hearts this morning and that they would come to know You. So we thank You for the day. Thank You for this opportunity in Your Son's name. Amen.